Welcome to Zichu Daf Sim Mani Mamar by Avram Goldari, and today Masechus Ksubas Daf Mem Zayin, the fourth parak Nar Shini Spasasa. The Zichu Masechus Ksubas program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the thing that we're going to focus on, number one, is Tana Brais Ha'av Inu Ochel Peres Bechai Bito. A father may not consume the produce of his daughter's property in his daughter's lifetime. Rashi explained earlier that if a minor girl inherited property from her mother's family, it's put in a trust for her. Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda says, Hav ocho peres bito, the father does consume the produce of her property. The Gemara says that it's understandable that the Rabbanim are talking that the husband can consume the produce of his wife's properties. Deem ken mim nem v'leparik, for if he could not, then he might hold back from redeeming his wife if she were captured. But as for a father, would he ever hold back from redeeming his daughter, even if he did not have the right to consume the produce from his daughter's property? The Gemara answers that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds of nami min nem v'leparik, that the father might also hold back from redeeming his daughter. Savar kisen nikitilav, for he might think a purse full of money is held for her in trust. Tezel v'sifruk nafshel, let her go and ransom herself. Point number two, the Gemara seeks to compare a machlokas whether a chassan acquires the rights of the produce, clothing, and kalim written in the ksuba if his kala dies after erison, to a machlokas whether a kala collects the tosefes ksuba, the additional monies added into the ksuba if the chassan dies after erison. The Chamim holds she does, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azari holds she does not. For the husband only added in those monies on the understanding that he would bring her in as a fully married wife. The Gemara rejects the comparison of these two machlokas and concludes that both parties in the first machlokas may hold, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that the kala does not collect the tosefes ksuba, even though they disagree in a case where the kala dies before nesuin. The one who holds the chassan does not collect peros ksus v'kelim is clearly like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and the one who holds that he does collect them can still be like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. For Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah can hold that the chassan only made the commitment of the tosefes ksuba on the understanding he would marry her. But perhaps regarding the commitments made by the kala side to the chassan, even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would admit that they are binding mishum achitunik out of the satisfaction of the establishment of familial ties with the chassan's family, which are accomplished after erison. And point number three was taught in the Brice regarding the terms shera ksusa va'unasa that are mentioned in the ksuba as part of the husband's responsibilities. Shera il mazonos, her sheer is sustenance, her ksus is her clothing, and onasa zo onaha mura b'torah. Her ona refers to conjugal relations at their appointed time, as prescribed in the Torah. Rabbi Elazar says, she'ira zo ona, her share refers to conjugal relations, ksusa, her ksus refers to clothing, onasa el mazonos, her ona is her sustenance. The Brice includes the psukim brought to support each position. Continuing on the next daf, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, the juxtaposition of she'ira ksusa teaches, l'fum she'ira ten ksusa, according to her flesh, give her clothing, meaning give age-appropriate clothing to her. Do not give a young girl clothing meant for an older woman, and vice versa. The juxtaposition of ksusa v'onasa teaches lefum onasa ten ksusa, according to the time of year, give her clothing. Do not give her new clothing in the summer and worn clothing in the winter. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, it was taught in a braisa of eno ocho peres b'chai bito. A father may not consume the produce of his daughter's property in his daughter's lifetime. Rashi explained earlier that if a minor girl inherited property from her mother's family, it's put in a trust for her. Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda says, Hav ocho peres bito, the father does consume the produce of her property. The Gemara says that it's understandable that the Rabbanim are talking that the husband can consume the produce of his wife's properties. Deem ken mim nem v'leparik, for if he could not, then he might hold back from redeeming his wife if she were captured. But as for a father, would he ever hold back from redeeming his daughter, even if he did not have the right to consume the produce from his daughter's property? The Gemara answers that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds of nami min nem v'leparik, that the father might also hold back from redeeming his daughter. Savar kisen nikitilav, for he might think a purse full of money is held for her in trust. Tezel v'sifruk nafshel, let her go and ransom herself. Point number two, the Gemara seeks to compare a machlokas whether a chassan acquires the rights of the produce, clothing, and kalim written in the ksuba if his kala dies after erison, to a machlokas whether a kala collects the tosefes ksuba, the additional monies added into the ksuba if the chassan dies after erison. The Chamim holds she does, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azari holds she does not. For the husband only added in those monies on the understanding that he would bring her in as a fully married wife. The Gemara rejects the comparison of these two machlokas and concludes that both parties in the first machlokas may hold, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that the kala does not collect the tosefes ksuba, even though they disagree in a case where the kala dies before nesuin. The one who holds the chassan does not collect peros ksus v'kelim is clearly like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and the one who holds that he does collect them can still be like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. For Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah can hold that the chassan only made the commitment of the tosefes ksuba on the understanding he would marry her. but perhaps regarding the commitments made by the Chalasai to the Chosin. Even Rabbi Elazar ben Azari would admit that they are binding, mishum achitunu, out of the satisfaction of the establishment of familial ties with the Chosin's family, which are accomplished after Erison. And point number three was taught in the Brice regarding the terms Shera, Ksusa, Va'unasa that are mentioned in the Ksuba as part of the husband's responsibilities. Shera, El Mazonos, her She'er is sustenance, her Ksus is her clothing, and Onasa, Zo Onaha Mura Batora. Her Onah refers to conjugal relations at their appointed time as prescribed in the Torah. Rabbi Elazar says, She'ra zo onah, her share refers to conjugal relations, ksusa, her ksus refers to clothing, onasa el mazonos, her onah is her sustenance. The Brice includes the psukim brought to support each position. Continuing on the next daf, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, the juxtaposition of she'ra ksusa teaches, l'fum she'ra ten ksusa, according to her flesh, give her clothing, meaning give age-appropriate clothing to her. Do not give a young girl clothing meant for an older woman, and vice versa. The juxtaposition of ksusa ve'onasa teaches lefum onasa ten ksusa, according to the time of year, give her clothing. Do not give her new clothing in the summer and worn clothing in the winter. All right, so now we go to our siman daf mem zayin, and our standard siman is a maize. A maize. So here goes. The corn maize property the daughter inherited that her father had no rights to was acquired by her chasim with her parents ksus and kelim when she unexpectedly passed away after erison, after getting lost in the maize. Just as the Rav was preparing the ksuba and was writing the words Shera ksusa ve'onasa. Once again, it's a motion. The corn maze property, maize, that must mean we're on daf mem zayin. The corn maze property the daughter inherited that her father had no rights to, which reminds us, we have a machlokas if a father can consume the produce from his daughter's properties. So, the corn maze property the daughter inherited that her father had no rights to was acquired by her chosin with her parents Ksus and Kalim when she unexpectedly passed away after Erison when she got lost in the maze, which reminds us, we have machlokas whether a chosin has the rights to parents Ksus and Kalim if the kala dies before Nisuin, and the Gemara compares this machlokas to the machlokas whether a kala gets the Tosefes Ksuba when the chosin dies after Erison. So the corn maze property the daughter inherited that her father had no rights to was acquired by her chosin with the pairs Ksus and Kalim when she unexpectedly passed away after Erison when she got lost in the maze, just as the Rav was preparing the Ksuba and was writing the words She'era Ksusa Va'onasa, which reminds us we have different opinions regarding the meaning of the terms She'era Ksusa Va'onasa. So once again, the corn maze property the daughter inherited that her father had no rights to was acquired by her chosin with her parents Ksus and Kalim when she unexpectedly passed away after Erison when she got lost in the maze, just as the Rav was preparing the ksuba and was writing the words Shera Ksusa Va'onasa. All right, so now it's time for four Blabah Chazara. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The daughter whose room was filled with all the magazines she bought with the money she made after her father's death, which reminds us, Rabbi Avinah asked Rav Sheshes, a daughter is being supported by her brothers from her father's estate, to whom do her earnings belong? Rav Sheshes answered they belong to the brothers, but Rav Yosef challenged him, which Rav explains is based on a mission from which he learned, Masi Yadeh Kemitzi Asa, that her earnings are like what she finds, just as what she finds during her father's lifetime belongs to him, and what she finds after her father's death belongs to her, so to what she earns during his lifetime belongs to the father, but after his death belongs to her. So the daughter whose room was filled with all the magazines she bought, with the money she made after her father's death, had the Eva Kanani who was bequeathed to her brothers keep them tidy, which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rav, a daughter who is being supported from the estate by her brothers, her earnings belong to her, for it was written in regard to an Eva Kanani, V'isnachatam osam livnechem acharehem, you shall keep them in your possession for your children after you to inherit. This implies only they are passed on as a heritage to your children, but your daughters are not passed on as a heritage to your children. Magid she'ein adam morish zuchus bito livno. This tells us that a person does not bequeath to his son the rights that the Torah grants him in his daughter. So the daughter whose room was filled with all the magazines she bought, with the money she made after her father's death, had the Eva Kanani who was bequeathed to her brothers keep them tidy, who she tipped using the money she received from two kasubas after her father had married her off twice. Which reminds us, the next mission states that if one gave his daughter, who is a katana or a nara, in erison, and the chasin divorced her before nisuin, and then the father gave her over a second time, and she was widowed before nisuin, her ksuba from both marriages belonged to the father. If he gave her in nisuin, and the chasin divorced her, and the father gave her in nisuin a second time, and she was widowed, ksubasa shalah, the ksuba from both marriages belonged to her. Rabbi Yehuda says, harishona shalav, the first ksuba belongs to the father. The Gemara explains the malchokas. Daf mem dalad. So the Simver daf mem dalad is mud. So here goes. The two stars for one field dated one after the other. Lying in the mud. Mud? That must be Warren Duff. Memdalid. The two stars for one field dated one after the other. Lying in the mud, which reminds of Rav Nachman said, Shnei stars who yotzim bezer chazeh bitul sheni asarishon. Two stars are for one field, and one is dated after the other. The second star nullifies the first. The Gemara asks what the reason is that the first star is batal, and Rafam said that we say the recipient admitted to him that the first star was invalid. And Rashi explains that by acknowledging the need for a second star, the recipient is admitting the first star was a fraudulent. Rav Acha said that we say the recipient graciously waived the lien that is inherent in the first deed. If the land is seized, he's limited to collecting from lands sold after the date in the second shtar. The Gemara brings three nafka minas between the two reasons, the disqualification of the witnesses, the repayment of fruits eaten, and payment of the property tax. So the two shtars for one field dated one after the other, lying in the mud, were discovered by a Nar HaMarasa who was not conceived in Kedusha, but her birth was in Kedusha, which reminds us that we learned that a Nar HaMarasa, if conception was not in Kedusha, meaning that it was before her mother converted, but her birth was in Kedusha, meaning after her mother converted, Harzobaskila, she's Chayv Skila, but she's not subject to stoning by the entrance of her father's house, since her father isn't Jewish, nor is she entitled to the 100 sela fine if her husband is found to be lying about her. The Gemara learns that the superfluous word umesa, and she shall die, is coming to include one who's not conceived in Kedusha, but was born in Kedusha for Skila. And when the Gemara asks why this does not teach us that if her husband is found guilty of trying to defame her, he should be lashed and have to pay the fine, it answers umesa, and she shall die. Lamisa nisrabsa v'lovo kanas. She was included for the death penalty, but not for the fine. So the two stars for one field dated one after the other, lying in the mud, were discovered by Nar HaMarasa, who was not conceived in Kedusha, but her birth was in Kedusha. When she noticed a young orphan girl sitting in the mud and crying because the one who defamed her didn't have to pay the kanas. Which reminds us, we have machlokes whether a motzi shemra al yasoma is pater, whether one who defames an orphan girl is pater from paying the fine. Daf mem hei, so the simmer daf mem hei is monopoly. So here goes. The three naras playing execution monopoly. Monopoly? That must be more in daf mem hei. The three naras playing execution monopoly and try not to land on father's house, city gate, or tight neck, which reminds us, Shiloh taught a braisa that taught, Shosh Midos Benara, there are three types of execution with regard to a Nara who committed adultery as an Arusa, dependent on when the witnesses came to testify against her and how old she was at the time of the conviction. So the three Naras playing execution monopoly and try not to land on father's house, city gate, or tight neck, were joined by a defamed Nara who became a Bagaris who was upset her accuser did not have to pay the Kanas. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains that in the case of a Nar Marasu who was a Nara when she sinned, but a Bagaris when she was judged, she gets skill because her adulterous actions caused her punishment. And when she committed adultery, she was a Nara. Whereas in the case of the defamer, Akimus Vas of Garmulo, the curving of his lips referring to his defamation caused him to be chayv of punishment. And at the time he spoke, she was already a Bagaris. Therefore, he cannot be given the punishment for one who defames a Nara. So the three Naras playing execution monopoly and try not to land on father's house, city gate, or tight neck, were joined by a defamed Nara who became a Bagaris, who was upset her accuser did not have to pay the Kanas, and who had just come from a town with a majority of idolaters where stoning was done at the entrance of Beis Din. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, a Nar Marasa that commits adultery, we stone her at the entrance of her father's house. If her father has no house, we stone her at the entrance of the city's gate where she committed the adultery, and in a city with a majority of idolaters, we stone her at the entrance of Beis Din. Daf Mem Vav, so the Simmer Daf Mem Vav is a cow that goes moo. So here goes. The Rachel going around town on a cow. Cow? That must be one daf. Mem vav. Moo. The Rachel going around town on a cow telling people that Pony was warned not to commit motzi shemra, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, Hazar la motzi shemra monalan. From where do we derive the source for the warning of a defamer? Belazar says it's from the pasuk oseilech Rachel. You shall not go out as a gossip monger. And Rabbi Nassan says it's from the pasuk v'nishmartim be kol davarah. Beware of any evil davar, referring to a word. The Gemara explains why each one did not hold of the other one's source. So, the Rachel going around town on a cow telling people that Pony was warned not to commit motzi shemra, lost control and charged through a spread out clean new sheet that the girl's father was holding, which reminds us, the Gemara in Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis brought a machlokas whether the defamer must have had relations with her in order to be punished with Malkus and the fine. The Chachamim hold that he's punished whether he had relations or not, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds he's only punished if he had relations with her. The Gemara asks how the Chachamim will hold that he does not have had to had relations with her. Understand various psukim. When it asks how they understand the pasuk parshu asimla and they spread out the sheet, it answers Rabbi Avo said parshu masha samla. They clarify the accusation that he placed on her, as it was taught in the Braisa that witnesses come from both sides uborin asadavar kisimla chadasha, and they clarify the matter like a new sheet. So the Rachel going around town on a cow, telling people that Pony was warned not to commit motzi shemra, lost control and charged through a spread out clean new sheet that the girl's father was holding, which he had bought with the kesef kedushin he received. Which reminds the next mishnah opens the av zakei bebito bekedusha bekesef. A father zoche in his daughter's kedushin to receive the money. The Gemara asks for the source for this, and after rejecting several answers, returns to its original source from the parsha of a Jewish shivchu becomes a nara, where the pasuk states, "V'yatzah chinam ein kasef." She shall leave free of charge without payment. From the superfluous phrase "without payment," it can be inferred in kesef adon zeh v'yesh kesef adon acher. There's no payment made to this master, meaning no money is needed to purchase the girl from his rishus, but there is payment made to a different master upon leaving his rishus. And who is this? Her father. All right, now it's time to conclude their 10-question pop quiz. Number 1. Which daf we have machlokes if a chassan gets the peres, ksus, and kalim of a kala that died after erison? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 2. Which of the gemara that the makor that the father gets the kesef kedushin is v'yatzah chinam in kasef? That's on daf Mem Vav. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we have two different sources from where there's an hazara, a warning for motzi shemra? That's on daf Mem Vav. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have two different reasons given as to why when there are two shtaros on the same field, the second shtar is mevatel the first one? That's on daf Mem Dalad. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn that in a town that there are rove idolaters, the Naam Harasi gets stoned by the entrance of Basin? That's on daf Mem Hey. Good. Number 6. Which of the one from the pasuk that an eved kanani is bequeathed to one's sons, but not one's daughter's earnings? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we have in Malchus? Whether a father has rights to consume the produce from a daughter's property during her lifetime? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we have in the Rabbi Shila taught that there are shosh midos benara, three types of execution for a Nara Marasa who committed adultery? That's on daf Mem Hey. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have different opinions regarding the meaning of the words Shera Ksusa Va'onasa? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 10. Which of the one how the Chachamim will hold that the defamer does not have to have relations with her? Explain the psukim, such as spreading out the sheet. That's on daf Mem Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.